Houston Missions and the Simmons & Fletcher Local Mission Podcast. This is Paul Cannon, your host, managing partner at Simmons & Fletcher. This podcast is a podcast to promote missions organizations that are out in the Houston area as well as nationwide and helping people and giving people an opportunity to get involved and to serve. So if you've got a heart to serve, this is a good place to learn about places where you can serve. And if you have a missions that you would like to have promoted for free, then just send an email to pcannon@simmonsandfletcher.com and we'll be happy to get you scheduled. Today we have a very special guest, Allison Madrigal, the founder of and CEO of Rescue America, which was formerly known as Rescue Houston and began right here in our own backyard. She's going to tell us a little bit about the not just the beginnings, but what they do and how you can get involved and be a part of this. So without further ado, Allison, tell us a little bit about Rescue America.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for having me on. It's great to be with you guys. And yeah, so Rescue America, we are an anti-trafficking organization. We are a 24/7 rescue hotline and emergency response for victims of sex trafficking now all over the nation. And so we got started, like you mentioned, back in 2014 as Rescue Houston. And the way we were birthed is I was actually in the corporate world and God started stirring in my heart that I was supposed to be doing something different. Long story short, I ended up leaving my corporate job and I really took a look at the anti-trafficking movement at large to understand really from a funding perspective at that time of what are the greatest needs on the landscape? And if we're going to fund something, what are we going to fund? And what I saw was there were a lot of groups doing outreach and awareness about the issue. And then there were great long-term care homes that are so needed for the survivors aftercare. But there was not an efficient and effective way to get survivors out of their situation, assess, stabilize, and place them into those long-term care homes. You know, most people think, oh, well, that's law enforcement's job, right? yes, law enforcement can help with that. But when you put yourself in the mindset of a victim and you understand what's going on in that victim's mind, they don't trust law enforcement and they're not going to reach out for help. And so really that's how we were birthed, is putting all the puzzle pieces together and God bringing everything really to my plate that we needed to launch a local hotline. And now we're a national hotline. So yeah, that's a little bit about who we are.
Well, that is awesome. You make some great points in there. It's unfortunate that a lot of the victims here are scared to death because they're afraid of being criminalized when they reach out to law enforcement or something like that. They're afraid they're going to be the ones arrested and they're going to be accused of being prostitutes when they're actually the victims. And then you also have the same problem that the other problem that I think a lot of them come from different countries and may speak different languages, and just the ability and knowledge of who they can reach out to and who they can trust is a big issue when they come from some of these countries where their police is corrupt. But then also the problem is they may not understand our laws and our system in America. It's not like they're getting free education when they're brought over here as slaves, you know? So as a result, they don't know who to turn to. And so it's great to hear that there's organizations out there that are trying to give them an opportunity. Well, tell me a little bit about how you guys came about, because I know you guys started here in Houston as Rescue Houston. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I have just left my corporate job. I was a property and casualty insurance broker, and God called me out. At the time, I thought I was going to start a for-profit company and just fund anti-trafficking work. So little did I know that through my journey, God would actually have me start an organization. But it really was through understanding the issue. It took about two years to really fully like dive deep. I mean, the only thing I knew when I started was the word anti-trafficking. And when God opened my eyes to it, he opened it to when I was looking for mission trips to go on in India, and he showed me what was happening there and then quickly revealed to me that it was happening in your own backyard. And so start in your own backyard. And so really it just led from one conversation to a meeting to another meeting. And back in 2012, 2013, when I was initially doing the landscape assessment and understanding the issue, there were really only three major faith-based organizations in Houston at the time that were focusing on the issue. And now, I mean, there's probably close to 20 or 30 organizations in Houston. So it's been amazing to see the growth. But back then it was really what is needed on the landscape. And so it became very clear again that there was, you know, outreach happening and there was awareness going out to the general public. Elijah Rising was doing a lot of that. And then there were long-term safe homes such as Redeem Ministries and Freedom Place for minors. But there was this gap where how do we actually get the victims out of their situation? And then when you understand, like when you look at the entire landscape of victims, right? I actually compare it to being an insurance broker. It's like you take everything out there and you match them with that best home. So depending on whether they're international or domestic or a minor or an adult, or they may be pregnant or they may have children, or they may need detox or rehab before they go to a safe home. So we're really the hotline that when they call in, we discern, are they ready to leave their situation? And we can talk a little bit more about that. And then place them on that best healing journey where they're going to be able to address their mind, their body, and their spirit for the healing, because we're created a tri-being of a mind, body, spirit. And so we've got to address all those intricate parts of healing to really live in full freedom and the destiny God has planned for you.
Wow, that is awesome. So that started out right here in Houston. How is it that it blew up and expanded across the nation like it has?
Yeah, so we started in Houston in 2014, and in 2019, about 5 years later, we had only distributed the hotline number in Houston, mainly through our partner, Elijah Rising. So they go out and do outreach on the streets, the brothels, the cantinas, and we distribute the hotline through our outreach hubs. But, and I can talk a little bit more about that, but we had been getting the hotline number out, and in 2019, all of a sudden we were starting to get phone calls from all over the nation. And so we didn't plan on receiving phone calls from all over the nation, but it organically happened. When you understand the life of a survivor, you know, they may be in Houston today, but by this weekend, they're going to be in Chicago, and then they're going to be in New York. And then at that moment in time, you know, maybe they received the hotline in Houston, they weren't ready to leave. But now when they're in New York, they've processed and they're ready to leave. And so they call the hotline. And so in 2019, it had just gotten out organically. And so at that same time, we were brought into Denver, Colorado, to do another landscape assessment similar to the one I did in Houston by Cherry Hills Community Church. They had a victim show up on their front doorstep and quickly realized there were no resources in the Denver area, immediate resources for trafficking survivors. So they took it on under their mission to figure out how to fill this gap. And so they brought us in. And so as we're building out here, the calls keep coming in from all over the nation. And so really, then we moved headquarters to Denver, and that was really our launching pad for Rescue America, a national ministry, and which shifted our mindset as well with our safe home partners. So where when we started in Houston, it was like, oh, we found safe homes in Houston to place the victims at, or whatever city they called from. But now this year, you know, we've received calls from over 450 cities across the country. And so now we take a national look at the landscape of safe homes. And so there are probably 250, 300 safe homes across the country that are specific for the recovery of trafficking survivors. And so we partner with Southwest Airlines that flies our survivors to these safe homes without their ID. So once we do the intake assess, we partner with the homes and get them into a safe home. And I can share a little bit about how we determine what safe homes to partner with and how we tier them. But so that's a high level overview of how we got to be Rescue America. It was by the almighty hand of God, and it was not in our strategic plan at all.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to forget to come back to the partnering with safe homes and how y'all do that. So don't let me forget that part, because there's a lot of interesting things that you talked about in there that I kind of wanted to touch on. Yeah, I know you were talking about how they move around, and I know that's probably confusing sounding to a lot of people, but one of the things from the legal perspective that we've known in the legal battles against human trafficking that we've been a part of is that you see where these pimps that are doing the trafficking are taking these victims that they're using for prostitution and other purposes, and they will take them to maybe a hotel room for a week or a short period of time that they rent out, and they will just, they'll run ads and they'll get people to come and be a part of, you know, of this, what they've got going on there. And then when they run out of customers, they move on to the next city that they've already been lining up and advertising for before they've even gotten there. And they just go city to city instituting these victims out. So I understand exactly what you're talking about, how these people may start in Houston and next week they're in another city and they're going from city to city, and half the time they may not even know what city they're in. You know,
that's exactly right. Exactly right. Yep.
Wow. I'm glad to hear that you guys are out there with the opportunity. And so how do you guys get the word out about your organization to the victims?
Yeah. So the main way that Rescue America, that we distribute our hotline, and this is an incredible volunteer opportunity for anybody who wants to dip their toe in the water, is we have close to 46 Rescue America outreach hubs across the country. And what these hubs commit to is meeting once a month for 2 hours. And their whole job is to place outbound phone calls to victims of trafficking. So what we do on the back end is we have a bot that goes out to the internet and scrapes ads off of sites where victims are sold online. It grabs their phone number, and then we import it into that outbound call system. And so when a group comes together, let's just say Thursday night, 6 to 8, you know, first Thursday of the month, they'll come together, they'll get a little overview on trafficking and how the call works. And then within 15 minutes, you know, they pray, and then they divide out 2 by 2. While one person is praying, one person is making the phone call. And so they literally log onto a website, they press the call button, and the phone is ringing to what is more than likely a survivor of sex trafficking or a victim of sex trafficking. And so then if they pick up or they have voicemail, they just say, you know, hi, I am with a community that cares about you. And I just want to let you know, we saw your ad online. And we want to let you know, if you don't want to be in this circumstance or this lifestyle anymore, there's a hotline number you can call for a way out. And here's the hotline number. And so it's a way to mass distribute the hotline. We do have opportunities when they do pick up the phone, and men have a very, very, very powerful voice, because what happens is the survivor stays on the phone just a little bit longer because it's a man. So they're thinking in their mind, oh, he's a purchaser. He wants to purchase me. But instead of a man wanting to purchase them, it's a man offering them freedom. It's very, very powerful. And so sometimes you're able to have conversations with the survivor, pray for the survivor, encourage her. Sometimes we've left voicemails where the survivor has called back 6 months later and said, you guys called me and left a message for me, and I'm ready to leave now. And so it's a very easy, profound, safe way for the general community to get involved. And right now, I believe we have 8 outreach hubs in the Houston area where people can go and volunteer.
Wow, that is awesome. You have those nationwide as well. And do they, I was noticing on the website that you guys have a 24/7 hotline listed on there, the 833-599-FREE, F-R-E-E. So that's 833-599-FREE. And people can call that anywhere in the nation, basically, and get in touch with you guys, and y'all will connect them, I guess, to the right organization that they can, that can help them get them out, correct?
Yeah. So what we do is when they call into the hotline, the first thing is really we determine, are they really ready to leave the life or their situation? Because so many victims in America, 98% of the victims that we have worked with are U.S. domestic citizens. And so while trafficking is international, it does happen international, God has brought us U.S. domestic citizens. And so a lot of times what that looks like in America is they're actually in love with their trafficker or their pimp. And so it's really in an empowerment conversation of, A, sometimes they don't even realize they're being trafficked, so they call him the boyfriend or they're their husband. And so it's an empowerment conversation of helping them understand what's going on, and then helping them understand there are resources and there are safe homes out there for their healing journey. And so once we determine if they're ready to leave their situation, we will strategize if they haven't already left their situation. Sometimes they're in a domestic violence shelter or they're sleeping on a friend's couch, but if they're in his apartment, we strategize with them how to get them out. So is he going to be at the grocery store, or is he going to the gym? And then we send an Uber to pick them up. And then we do place in hotels if they need a stay from the time we get them out till that safe home. So once we get them out, we start looking for that safe home placement. So we have partners all over the nation. And typically that process takes anywhere from 2 to 7 days, depending on how quickly the homes are, if they have beds available, how quickly they're responding. And so in that time frame, we are the emotional support, the food, the clothing. So we use all technology, the Shipit, the DoorDash, all of that to get them food and clothing wherever they're at across the country. And that emotional support through our exit strategist team. And then once we have a home, then we book that flight with Southwest Airlines. If they don't have an ID, which about 40% of the survivors that call our hotline, they actually don't have their IDs because their trafficker or pimp has taken it from them. So Southwest Airlines works with us to get them through TSA and onto that flight and then onto that home. And so once they're at the home, it's an official handoff. And now that safe home is running with their whole aftercare healing journey.
Wow. So thought I had when you were talking about all this stuff, do you have a need for, I guess, bilingual or multilingual people to make these phone calls in light of the different cultures that are here in America that are in this victimization?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. You know, most of our callers are English speaking, but we do have a Spanish script that people can play on the outbound phone call. But yes, if you are Spanish speaking or a different language, we can absolutely use you as well. On the hotline end side of things, we do partner with a interpretation service that has over 200 languages that will be in the interpretation for us as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that's neat. So there's an opportunity that's always there for people who are multilingual, it sounds like, but even just people who straightforward English, if that large of a percentage of your people are local USA, then that's wonderful. I wonder if that has part of the reasoning for that is that at least the American people who are victimized they have an easier time reading and understanding the ads that they see for your hotline and that sort of thing versus people who may not speak the language. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's really neat. Now, you were telling us a little bit about you get them out, you get them to a hotel, you take care of them till you can get them kind of a more permanent place to start the conversion process, which I've heard from talking with several other people about that level of the program, which involves everything from getting them off drugs to dealing with medical issues to dealing with anything their pimp may have inflicted upon them in order to keep them from being able to escape, which is addiction is used basically as a prison a lot of times. And so that may take a high level of assessment just to figure out where they need to be and does the facility have the ability to provide for these needs. So how do you find the locations then that have the ability to provide for all these kind of needs?
Yeah, so we, wherever that survivor is calling in from, because it's all over the U.S., if they need emergency medical care, we'll just go to the local hospital and get them, you know, into detox and all of that. If not, we just search for detox facilities or rehab facilities in that area. And typically that process can be anywhere from a week to 2 weeks. And we stay in contact with that survivor while they are in that facility, because one of the biggest breaks in the aftercare continuum of care is, okay, they'll go to a hospital or they'll go to a rehab. And that hospital or rehab, they don't understand the anti-trafficking space or where to place them. And so we keep in contact with them so we can make sure that they go directly from that hospital or rehab facility into that safe home. And there's no lapse in the care that they're receiving.
Wow. Well, I'm going to bet with an organization of your size, in addition to needing the volunteers, you guys probably have a pretty good financial need as far as the ability to take care of all these individuals across the nation with food, supplies, hotel rooms, everything else. How do you guys raise the money to take care of people like that?
Yeah. So right now about 40% of our, probably 30% of our income comes from the state of Texas government funding, which that is going away within the next year, probably at least a 40% cut on that. And so right now we are calling the church to action. So right now the church only funds about 4% of our total budget. And so we know God's A plan is for his church to fund his mission. And so we're really challenging the churches to rise up and to help really replace this government funding that we find ourselves in. But not only that, when we look at our call volume, we've had to take just this month a step of faith and hire about 4 new positions to keep up with the volume on the hotline. So last year we had close to 2,000 hotline calls right now we're projected without any of the mass advertising that we have kind of that we're working on the back end right now, we're projecting 3,000 hotline calls. And so right now we've had to add an additional 20,000 to our monthly spend just to keep up with our call volume. And so, you know, the way God has had us build the organization is, and I'm like, Lord, can we do it a different way? But he's never had us do it a different way. He's like, okay, if you need the people, if you need the position, and I'm bringing you the people, hire them first, and then I will provide the funding. So it's always a leap of faith.
Faith first.
Yes, and you think after 10 years, it wouldn't faze me, but it seems like every time it phases me and I'm like, okay, when am I going to just stop worrying about the finances? You know, right now we are in that faith moment of, we are interviewing and hiring people, and it's going to be, about an additional 20,000 a month that we're looking for just to keep up with the call volume that we have coming in.
And it's sad that you have that kind of volume that you have to deal with. But I wanted to ask you also on that, before I get too far away from it, is of that call volume, I know you get a lot of calls, people who aren't ready, people who maybe make multiple calls to get there, that sort of thing. How many people are you guys getting out of this lifestyle by your services?
Great question. So of the close to 2,000 hotline calls last year, we served 911 individual survivors. So that difference between those two numbers are multiple calls from the same survivor or people calling into wondering what we do, how can they volunteer? So we had 911 individual survivors. Of those 911, 225 actually exited the life of sexual exploitation. So that means they went to a healthcare facility, a detox facility, or a safe home and got them out of their situation onto new life.
That is awesome. That is wonderful. 225 people saved from what a horrible situation they have to live in. And that's awesome. It takes a lot to do that, I can tell just from talking with you. And obviously, you guys are always looking for more help, more volunteers. I heard you talk about not only hotline answers are often needed for this stuff, but people who are willing to do the outreach and make those phone calls, and that can be done right here in Houston, or I think you said there was 9 locations in Houston.
Yes.
And I imagine every major city probably has multiple locations. But if someone wants to get involved in those type of organizations, how do they learn or who do they contact? How do they contact people in order to find out more about being involved?
Yes, if you go to our website, www.rescueamerica.ngo, and you click on Outreach Hubs or Get Involved, it will walk you through our volunteer opportunities. And then there's a place where you can email in, and then our mobilization manager and her team, they will be getting back with you and starting the process of either connecting you to an Outreach Hub in your area, or if you have a call to start your own Outreach Hub, it doesn't take much. You go through a training, background check, and an interview. If you have a small group or in your church, if you want to say, hey, we want to start our own Outreach Hub, it's a pretty simple process to do.
Wow. And so you could actually have your church group kind of create its own outreach hub and manage it that way, so that maybe it's not all on one person or one or two people and
exactly.
Can be kind of rotated. That's a great idea. Well, I think I've covered all the questions I had written down, and I've learned a lot from this phone call, but is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to tell us about the organization before we sign off?
Yeah, you know, I think we did cover everything. I think the message I would give is, you know, if you're a person listening to this and you're like, man, what can I do? Is just to pray and ask God to show you. You know, we were talking before, and it's amazing how the Lord will show you. If he has something for you to do, he will show you. If you keep your eyes open and your ears open, right? And so I always tell people, pray and ask the Lord, and then just take that next step. Maybe it's just going to one outreach hub. Maybe you don't like to make phone calls, but guess what? You can pray. And it's just being in the atmosphere and meeting other people that are volunteering. And then you may find yourself by the end of that outreach hub actually comfortable to make a phone call. Or, you know, you may be a prayer warrior. We have a prayer intercessory team. So really, it's just taking that next step. If your heart is stirred, to commit to praying about it, and then having the Lord show you what that next step he would have you take. And then from that next step, there'll be a next step. And then from that next step, there will be a next step. And he typically doesn't show you everything at once, which I've learned to say thank you for, because I would have probably been like, how is that possible? I'm not doing that. I'm running.
Yes. So, God's plan is so overwhelming. If he showed it to you all at once, you'd run as fast as you can, much like Jonah and the whale situation there. And
right.
So I think it's, you pray, you get shown a piece and you step in there, and as you're traveling with faith and you're understanding and realizing it's not about you, it's about what you can do with God's blessing and power going through you, that you realize you can actually do these things. But that's awesome. So I really appreciate you being online and sharing your story and sharing the story of how Rescue Houston became Rescue America, and how rose to the point of saving 225 people last year. And sounds like it's on pace to save even more this year. We need more organizations like that in the world. We need more people volunteering and helping and being part of it. So I hope that we can help you find some volunteers.
Well, thank you, Paul, so much for having us on, and we appreciate all that you do to get the word out.
You're very welcome.